Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then Jesus told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the dominion of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
So today is the beginning of the new year, the new church year, that is, Advent 1. We begin the new year by reading from a different gospel. So we're switching from the Gospel of St. Mark to the Gospel of Luke. But what hasn't changed, at least over the last several weeks and for this week and into next, is the nature of our reading. It's all about the end times, apocalyptic lessons. Just like the past two Sundays have emphasized these distressing signs to the end, so today there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress, confusion by the roaring of the sea and waves. Actually, kind of reminds me of the government's report on the environment. In fact, this reading from Luke is an exact parallel from St. Mark's reading that we had 2 weeks ago. You may remember that when we look at the gospel lessons, we assume that Luke had a copy of St. Mark in front of him when he wrote his gospel. And we're pretty sure of this because as we read through the lessons, we see that huge chunks of Luke are exactly worded from St. Mark in the exact order of the words. But so what's interesting then about this is where are the differences as we read these gospels? How Luke might change, might add or subtract from Mark or to Mark. So for instance, in Mark's gospel, the chapter 13, which we read 2 weeks ago, the ending is abrupt. It's almost cataclysmic, just like his resurrection story. And as I've proclaimed and preached several times, it's all in order to throw us back into the world. St. Mark sends the disciples back, sends us back to be resurrection life, to be the resurrection, as I have characterized it before. But Luke, as we read his gospel and read this lesson, I think takes a longer view. Perhaps he is more historical. In fact, he does call himself a historian. So he says, and this is his ad, this isn't from Mark, but this is what we might call special Luke. "Now when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh." I take "stand up and raise your heads" to mean don't be caught and trapped in a world of fear and control. Don't faint from fear and foreboding. And isn't that the challenge we face these days in our world? Although, obviously, it's a perennial problem. That is, of controlling others or trusting others. Controlling God or trusting God. It's a political problem, but we also know in our relationships between one another, it's a personal problem. But as I said, Luke was taking a longer view, which, as it turns out, as we're sitting here 2,000 years later, was a good thing to do. Stand up, raise your head, look to the future, be filled with hope, Jesus is saying in Luke's gospel. Look to the future with hope in your hearts. That's an attitude of trust, not one of control. The redemption that is coming, that is drawing near, God's future breaking into worlds of fear and loss, need for control, is Jesus the Christ. For hope and trust, these things are relational. They're interactive. They're community-oriented. We neither control God or others, nor does God control us, but calls us to faith, to hope, to love. So in this season of hope, we anticipate the arrival of the child, but we also trust that Christ's presence continues to be with us and before us. Our late member and one of the great teachers of the world, Fred Danker, said that Jesus is the blueprint for apocalyptic hope. He is not faint with fear and foreboding. But Jesus' program, as it's stated in the Gospel of Luke, is to seek and save the lost. We might ask, what might that mean in our own country? I keep giving the example of immigrants as they arrive from the South, but I think it also pertains to our climate as well. How might we seek and save the lost in our age? That is, to offer, to give, to be a reality of hope in the world, a possibility of a future for those who have none, who are lost, who are wandering in the wilderness, in despair, who have been excluded or threatened, to forswear control of others through prejudice and violence. Jesus, however, is much more than a blueprint or a model of hope. He is the very presence of God's care and intention for us in his interaction and care for us, in his presence with us. Real presence, we say, as we gather around the table. But that presence is real throughout our community and throughout our faith and our interaction with one another. So hope is relational. It is trust in the one who comes, that is, who seeks to save. And his hope is more than offering a great program, but it is offering himself for us as one sent by God to be with us, to be for us, and to call us as God's own creatures into a future which means life shared with one another, shared with God, which means giving hope. And we know that he is the true apocalyptic hope. Not only by his coming into the world as we anticipate an Advent coming on to Christmas, but by his bearing in his own person the sin of deadly control and violence. For the cross is the ultimate image of our fearful politics and our personal fears of trying to control the future, trying to control one another, trying to control God. For there on the cross, or the cross, there is no hope, but only violence, fear, and control by taking life. But our Advent and Christmas hope is always connected to Easter hope, the hope of the resurrection. In the future is not foreclosed by fear or death or the tyranny of controlling violence, but is raising up in new life, connected to God through Christ Jesus, and to one another also through Christ Jesus, through the forgiveness for which we ask and for which we know is the gift that we are promised. So as we gather this day and in this season, Jesus, through the Gospels, calls us to be people of hope, to be giving hope to one another and to those who are in need in the world. For hope by its nature is expansive and inclusive. It is the incarnational hope and the resurrectional hope. It is for all people. Jesus says in this lesson, look at the fig tree. Fig tree is an image often for Israel. But in this Gospel of Luke, Jesus adds, and all trees. Jesus in Luke is underscoring this inclusive nature of hope and the gospel story. So look around. See the whole world, all the trees, all the people. That is Jesus' apocalyptic and hopeful calling for us all this season and beyond. We await and anticipate by seeking others and giving hope. Brothers and sisters, stand up, raise your head, because your redemption is drawing near. Amen.